You know, our greatest single enemy is ourselves. In spite of modern medicine, miracle drugs, a fairly luxurious life, happy homes, we think, and happy families, we think, we're killing ourselves at a rather alarming rate. Principal causes of death are those things that cannot be reported in statistics. They're things that just simply take their toll day by day. We call those things worry and anxiety and tension. The words might sound a little general, but they are of particular meaning to all of us, because these are the things that take our strength and take away our endurance and take away our ability to relate to problems in life and to relate to our work. We want to think about those things and the word this morning. But first, let us pray. Father God, sometimes we get so caught up in our contemporary thing that we fail to notice that your word speaks to us from ages long past. When we turn to you and look at the history that we have been as men, we know that thou dost speak to us, not only as we live today, but also from the history. We seek to enter into these understandings this morning. Let us turn our thoughts to another time and another place, while yet holding them to this time and this place. For as your word speaks to us, it speaks to us through eternity. For a text this morning, I will not read the location. I will simply read one line. For your reference, it's Deuteronomy 33, 25, part B of that verse. That part reads, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be. As thy days, so shall thy strength be." This particular wording comes from a blessing that Moses gave to the tribe of Asher. You will recall in history that as Moses took the children of Israel by the hand and stomped across the Red Sea and to the Sinai Desert, that there was an acute problem of survival. It's a great deal of worry and anxiety and tension. People were asking, what next? As the people survived in the desert for almost 40 years, Moses came to the end of his life. And just before he passed, Moses called the elders of all of the 12 tribes in and gave them all his blessing and the blessings of God. This particular blessing, "As your days, so shall your strength be," is the blessing that was given to the tribe of Asher. Meditation this morning entitled Words of Assurance. Words of Assurance. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Just a few moments ago, I indicated that worry and anxiety and tension do kill us. These are trying days, and no matter where we go in life and what we do, we just can't seem to cope with the troubles of the world. And this is a worrisome state for us. It's a problem for us. And all of us are worried about something, and we have great tensions that reflect the extent to which we worry about our life in this world. You know, the worries and tensions bring on discouragement and despair at all levels of our living, and it's small wonder that we ask the question, where will it all end? We struggle and we fight against the agonies produced by our concerns, to the extent that we sometimes want to give up the fight for our lives and just run away somewhere. But where can we go? When we feel tense, worried, and caught up in this rat race, where can we go? Well, some of the tension is reflected in our concerns about the changing shape of the world we live in. a world where men talk peace and act war. We get caught up in their claims that God is on their side. We have the tension of the church telling us that our God is not a God of war. And it's hard to believe either claim because we just see evidence to the contrary. And the tension and anxiety just seems to swell up even more, and we begin to sweat. Literally, we have no place to go. This tension and anxiety is also reflected in our concerns about other things, about the increase in drug addiction, about crimes of violence, about the trash explosion of vulgarity and obscenity that's threatening our society, that even permeates the walls of our seminaries across the country. We find this tension and anxiety reflected in our church members, who are critical and antagonistic. So much so, that the very spirit of the Christian fellowship is about to be destroyed. What's most tragic is that we find young men like ourselves ready to throw in the towel, because the worry and the tension in our lives and the life of the church is just a little bit too much for us to bear. We ask the question, where can we go? Then there are the personal burdens, the very heavy ones that we bear, the fears and the frustrations that accompany preparation for ministry, the broken hearts and the shattered dreams. And all of these things are about to push us into a constant hell of worry and tension and anxiety, literally no place to go. Now this tension-filled, anxiety-ridden life that we live is detrimental to us because it makes our ordinary duties in life strength sapping drudgery. It makes temptations of all sorts seem an easy way out. It makes our burdens, makes our tasks burdens that are almost impossible to bear. We almost collapse under the strain of it all. In the meantime, telling lies, saying it's God's will. We try to excuse ourselves from complicity and the tensions that characterize our existence, not his. When in these moments we feel trapped and caught up in this hellish existence, when the problem really becomes so acute that we just can't seem to make it, and when it's time to look at the promises of God as he speaks to us from history, particularly at the promise that he gives in the words, as your day, so shall your strength be. Therefore, since we do have a problem with acute dimensions, and since this worry and tension is threatening to destroy us, let us turn our attention to those words, this blessing of Moses, and examine it in the light of three understandings that not only have historical significance, but come down to us in 1971 and speak to us as words of assurance, relieving our tensions and anxieties and our worries, giving us a place to go. Now, text says that the words, as your day, so shall your strength be, are part of the blessing that Moses gave to the several tribes of Israel near the end of his life. And these words were particularly directed to the tribe of Asher, who was to receive its location of land in the promised land right next to the Phoenicians. It was close to danger, close to surprise attacks, close to a life of tension and anxiety, unexpected raids. And just frankly, it was no easy place to be in. Asher, when it received this blessing from Moses, realized that not only did it have to fight to obtain the territory that it would inhabit, but that it would possibly have to fight just to hold on to it. We can readily see that the tribe of Asher, in its living in the promised land, is very much like our living in the kingdom in this day. The tribe of Asher, like us, not only has to obtain the place where we are to live, but fight like hell to hold on to it. The tribes were all assigned a territory in the promised land, and there was no space left for emergencies. If you lost your place to stay, there was no place to go. And so it is with us. We live here in this life. There is no other place to live, or no other place to go. And our text tells us that we can be assured that we have a place to go, and it does this in these three understandings. And the first of which is this, that one place that we can go is an experience with God. An experience with God. If this sounds just a little bit strange, then let us understand this assertion this way. An experience with God is an assurance of a place to go. Now, by this I mean that there is a definite relationship between the idea of a place to go, an experience with God, and the blessing that Moses gives. But in order for us to fully understand what this all means, we're going to have to understand all the important parts of the idea. Let's take the idea of blessing. Most of us tend to think that it is some special gift that we receive just because we asked for it, whether we need it or not. But this isn't so. In the Bible, the idea of blessing is that of providing for need. The idea of blessing is that of providing for need. Now, this may come in a variety of forms, such as the need for food, or for shelter, or for finance. But in this particular case, we are speaking about the need of some firm word from the Lord that says that we can make it in this life, even though we live in the midst of an enemy, whoever he is or whatever he is, that might attack us, to try to move us out of this life, leaving us with no place to go. This idea of blessing is a two-way street. It's a gift of God, but where there's a gift, there's also a receiver, namely us. This is the idea that we need to understand, that blessings are not just stored up like so much money in the bank, but that they are the immediate relief that comes from God for an immediate need on our part. And the whole of this idea is that God takes action and that we are to respond to it. For us, this idea of blessing is the idea of an experience with God. By this, I mean that we cannot receive a blessing without being in an experience with God. As he gives it and we receive it, this is an experience. For example, imagine that you were stranded on a very lonely road. You ran out of gas. You had no place to turn, no service station in sight. Now, there's a need. And what is needed is a blessing of some person to come along with some gas that can get you rolling again. What you really need is a blessing of some gasoline. Well, a blessing of gas comes along and a friendly stranger helps you get your car started, but you're not finished yet. You still have to say thank you to that stranger for the gas, because he gave you a blessing. Here you have action and response. It's also like having a glass of water when you're thirsty, or like having food when you're hungry, saying thank you. Now, these blessings come to us, but they just don't come and end right there. There is the necessity of a response on the part of man. And this response to the blessing completes the experience. And for the tribes of Asher, it was the divine words that were given through Moses, as your days, so shall your strength be. Not a promise of non-hostile neighbors, just a word of assurance from the Lord that laid responsibility on those who heard him, that you can live where you are. What the Lord said to these people was that they had the blessings of strength, but their days would be as they used their strength. God gives us strength as a blessing. We are to use it response to him. Now for us, this means too that we are recipients of the same blessing that the tribe of Asher received. We too have strength, and that strength is to be used like the tribe of Asher was to use it, to keep from being ousted from life, to keep from being ousted from a place to go. And by the word strength, I mean that we have the mental and physical resources to keep this life of God that God has given us, this place to go. And this blessing of strength is to be used to meet the tensions and anxieties, worries of life. Life that is threatened by a hostile environment of people, things that seek to deprive us of this place to go. Now we can have this experience with God firsthand. We can have it on the testimony of others. Just as Moses was directly involved in an experience with God, so can we be. But even if we do not have this experience, we can take the word of others, like the tribe of Asher, for example, that took the word that Moses relayed to them because Moses had an experience with God. Or we can take the word of men more contemporary with us, like that of Paul, who says, I know whom I have believed. I can do all things through him that strengthens me. What is important here is that we have that direct experience with God, or either an indirect with him. It matters not which. But that does not relieve us of the response to the blessing. This is the word of assurance that we have, that this is a blessing. It's an experience with God that now takes on particular meaning as to the content of that blessing. So let us turn our attention to that meaning as it relates to our being free from worry, tension, anxiety. This particular meaning has to do with the words, as your days. And this is the meaning, that God does not give us preferential treatment in blessing. God does not give us preferential treatment in blessing. And these words, particularized for each of us in the words, as your days. Now this means that each of us is particularly responsible for his life. And although the words were directed to a tribe of people 4,000 years ago, they speak to us today. They were directed to a group. There's no fundamental difference between what is a group and what is a single person. For a group is nothing more than a collection of individuals. And each of them in the tribe of Asher held as a part of his understanding that your meant our, mine. It meant the single dimension, the direct relationship of the man to the blessing. But there is no other way for us to understand it either. For the tribe of Asher, it meant that each of the members of that tribe had individual responsibility for himself and for the life of himself and the people of his tribe, with the understanding that all were subject to attack from without, even as one was subject to attack from without by a hostile environment. And for us, this historical situation takes the particular meaning that we are responsible for our days, that we are not excluded from the perils of tension and worry and anxiety and our place to go. We face just the same fears as did the tribe of Asher, as they were not given preferential treatment in the end in the promised land, so are we not given preferential treatment in this place where we live. Now, there's a strange streak in this that equates a blessing as feeling no pain. If everything is all right with us, we say God is in his heaven and all is right with the world. We say that this is evidence that God is blessing us, that he has his hand on us. But if we wake up with a bad headache, no matter what caused it, or if we suffer an illness, or if the old lady puts us on her, I ain't speaking to you today because list, or if some disappointment comes, then we assume that God has forgotten us, that he is not blessing us. And the matter is made a heinous sin when we lie on God and say that he is not with us today. Because we cannot face the truth about ourselves, that we did not use his blessing of strength to maintain this life so that we might not have unnecessary problems. Well, God gives us freedom of life. But because we have this freedom, we also have the dangers that we concoct go along with it. We are the persons who reject God's blessings. We dissipate our strength in some foolish things that the Lord does not approve of. And when we're short on strength, we blame him. Well, as we make our days, so shall our strength be. The blessing has now changed. We have changed the strength from something worthwhile to something of questionable value that does nothing more than bring on additional worry and anxiety and tension. You see, to be alive means that you're vulnerable to danger, turmoil, trouble, worry, tension, existence, and anxiety. We have this freedom to do good or to do ill. We also must accept responsibly the lack of strength that comes about when we dissipate, when we do not use the blessing that God has given us. There are some things sure. God will not put us on a top shelf existence like grandma hiding the cookies. He will not give us promise of preferential treatment. As a matter of fact, it is said to us that his rain falls on those who do well or those who do ill, on the just and the unjust alike. There's no preferential treatment. But there are these words of assurance: as your days, so shall your strength be. And these words suggest that we bear the responsibility of using this blessing God has given us. So now we have two meanings, two understandings before us. That blessing is an experience with God. We're not given preferential treatment in it. We can turn now to the third understanding that our text gives us relative to this blessing that Moses gave. And that is that blessings come a day at a time. Blessings come a day at a time. And what the text particularly says is that strength comes a day at a time. When Moses called the 12 tribes together, he parceled out God's blessings to each tribe. And each blessing was according to a need. But in each case, while the blessing was directed toward a specific tribe, it was for the whole nation of Israel, because the welfare of the nation was dependent on the welfare of the tribes, and the welfare of the tribes was dependent on individual members. So it was with the children of Israel, who had been the recipient of God's blessings in other places. And so it is with us. The blessings of God can be seen here as a microcosm of reality, of us, for they are particularly addressed to us, each of us. The tribe of Asher trekked across the desert of Sinai, like all the other 11 tribes after the liberation from slavery in Egypt. But the tribe of Asher, too, had to live on the same blessing of manna from heaven for its source of strength, for its daily bread, its daily source of strength. The tribe had to find water for strength every day, and God provided it. He blessed them with it. And God did provide the leadership of a man like Moses every day, a source of strength for his people. Well, the parallels of this historical assurance are even clearer for us now in our day. You see, the Christ taught us by example that we are to pray for our daily bread today, that we are to take no thought of tomorrow, that we are to live today. And life comes just as our bread comes, a day at a time. The tribe of Asher ate manna from heaven for strength that was provided from heaven, from God, every day. And this is just what the blessing is all about, and what it says to us, to help us face the worry, anxiety, and tension, even get rid of it, that the blessing comes from God every day. As your day, so shall your strength be. And this is the only possible way that we can handle the life that we face, the life that we live. Now, in conclusion, let's take an example from everyday life that might illustrate for us how these words of assurance look in our day-to-day living. The strongest bridge in the world can bear its traffic day after day for a century, even longer. But even that strongest bridge in the world, were it to have all the traffic that would be on it in a century, in one day would collapse. This is a clear illustration of the promise, as your day is, so shall your strength be. And brothers and sisters, the choice is this. What will it be? Will you experience this blessing? Will you take these words of assurance and live your life a day at a time? and thus eliminate the worry and the anxiety and the tension that you're living 2 or 3 days at a time causes? Or will you go on trying to live 2 or 3 days at a time? Of trying to live tomorrow, today, trying to live amidst the uncertainty, anxiety, that speculation on tomorrow brings. Well, if your choice is to obtain this blessing, then we're going to have to live a day at a time, accepting our daily bread as our strength for the day, accepting the historic promise that Moses made to of Asher, as your days, so shall your strength be. As your days, so shall your strength be. Let's pray. Father God, help us to understand that when the Christ gave us the model prayer, he uttered the words, "Give us this day our daily bread," that he was in effect blessing us with the understanding that Moses gave to his people, as your days, so shall your strength.
One of the most difficult problems we face here at the ITC is the problem of faithlessness.
Amen.
By this, I mean we exercise very little trust in God.
Amen.
For example, most of us who are at the ITC would not come until all our financial obligations were taken care of. Moreover, many of us still will not accept a church that will not assure us complete security.
Amen.
This is a problem to us.
Yes, sir.
Because we cannot expect to lead others to a life based on faith when we ourselves have no faith.
Well, yeah. All right.
Take your time.
Sorry.
Therefore, since we see ourselves faced with this problem of faithlessness, Let me suggest that we make 3 essential decisions which will enable us to overcome this obstacle.
Amen.
First, let us decide to look at ourselves in relation to the problem of faithlessness. Each of us must ask himself this question. Do I have this problem of faithlessness? Let us be honest with ourselves. To do this, let everybody get in front of a mirror and look at himself.
Yes, sir.
If he has a dandruff, this leads us to know whether or not we have the problem by evaluating ourselves.
Amen.
Now, secondly, we must decide to trust what we find to be true as a result of looking at ourselves in relation to the addressed problem.
Yes, sir.
We must believe it. If we find ourselves lacking in faith in God,
yes, sir,
believe it. Don't try to cheat yourself. Don't try to lie to yourself. Doesn't help you.
Well,
Suppose that the mirror experience revealed that you did have a dandruff. You shouldn't stand there trying. You shouldn't stand there trying to justify yourself.
Well,
you should just accept this and look for the best shampoo.
Yes.
For this problem. Thirdly, you must decide to choose the best you can get. There is no use in getting assistance that will not do the job.
Well,
we are to get the very best and the most to aid us in solving this, our problem of faithlessness.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Again, for example, the mirror experience should make us see the best shampoo. The key to this assistance is prayer. The key to this assistance is prayer. Prayer is the means which somehow enables us to get closer to God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And it is this closeness that brings about the solution to our faith problem.
Yes, sir.
Because it makes you know God is real.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen.
In conclusion, let me say that it has been this closeness that has enabled me to leave home 5 years ago,
yes,
and come to America for higher education.
Well,
I had many friends who let this opportunity pass because they let the faith to leave their families and come to a strange land without assurance of financial support.
Amen.
Nevertheless, I can say that it has been this closeness that has brought me safe thus far.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen.
It has been this closeness,
yes,
that in times when it was the hardest,
yes, sir,
when the sun stopped moving,
yes, sir,
when things turned upside down for me,
amen,
I felt I was in right hands.
Yes, sir.
As the song goes, I was never alone.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Someone might want to know, what is this closeness?
Yes, sir. What is it?
Well, I'll tell you.
Tell us then.
And leave the decision to you to take it or not.
Well?
It is faith in God.
Amen.
God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen.
My subject today is the role of a minister.
Amen.
The role of a minister. We as seminarians have failed to play our role as Jesus' representatives. The majority of us here at ITC act contrary to our profession, both in our deeds and in our words. The language used by us in the dining room is terrible.
Well?
Not even found among people who don't even go to church. We have failed to act or behave like seminarians, not only in words, but also in our actions. Our behavior makes people who work in our dining room question our ministry. They ask, are you called to ministry? Do you know how we answer? No, I was not called to ministry.
Well,
I am not called to ministry. And I will not be called to ministry.
Well, yeah.
I am not a minister.
Well,
that's the way we answer.
Oh, yeah.
Why do they ask? They ask because our actions make them doubt what we profess to be.
Yeah.
This is a problem. A problem because we cannot tell people surrounding us to live a Christian life when we don't live that life. In our language, the language we use, and in our actions. You will agree with me that these people act and use better language than us.
Amen. Yes, they do.
Sooner or later, they will have nothing to do with us as men.
Yeah.
Not to mention as ministers. So in all this, I am trying to say in my introduction, that we are poor representatives of Jesus.
Amen.
And this is going to kill us.
Amen.
In our ministry.
Amen.
And we can do work efficiently as ministers.
Yes, sir.
Now, in the light of this problem, let me suggest two concepts of the role of a minister that will not only make us know our duty as ministers, but will make us true and faithful followers of Jesus Christ. The first is the concept of the role of a minister as the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. According to Matthew, the disciples are the salt of the earth. They are the salt of the earth, not like the salt of the earth. Salt here is applied to Christians who preserved the world from corruption as salt preserves food from corruption.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Jesus was speaking to his disciples in the first century.
Yes, sir.
Which was full of wars, hate, corruption, injustices.
Yes, sir.
Hypocrisy.
Yeah.
And above all, lack of faith in God.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Amen.
Just like our 20th century.
Well, yeah.
He was saying to them, as he's saying to you,
yeah.
You are to redeem society.
Yes, sir.
Make men know gods.
Yes, sir.
All continue. continuous redemptive action
yes, sir.
In the world, known especially
yes,
in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You are to purify the world wherever you live.
Yeah.
Move by setting good examples as ministers.
Yes,
your role or omission in the world is to take a firm stand
yes, sir.
Under all trying circumstances
yes, sir.
And be the preserver
yes.
of fairness,
yeah.
honesty,
yes, sir.
And morality
yes, sir.
In the world.
Amen.
Furthermore, our world needs, more than any time in its history, seminarians who will live by what they preach.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
Otherwise, our dying church, evidenced by young men living it,
yes.
will never regain its saltiness
Amen.
Or the image of a redeemer.
Yes.
Moreover, we preachers have lost the good news of the kingdom out of our message,
yeah.
out of our lives,
uh-huh.
and in the eyes of men, people.
Yes, sir.
The church of which we are is of no earthly use
yeah.
to them.
Yes, sir.
This is manifest by many people who are living it today.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Again, as Christians, we have lost love that binds communities,
yes, sir.
That binds men together
yes,
as
yes.
brothers
yes, sir.
And sisters,
yes.
fellowshipping in God.
Amen.
As Christians, we have left that flavor,
yes, sir.
That flavor,
yes, sir.
Which is a preserving force in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So all what I'm trying to say here is that we are the preserver of justice
Amen.
And of what is right.
Amen. All
eternal.
And all people living in this world.
Amen.
The second concept of the role of a minister maintains that we are the light
yeah.
of the world.
Ah! Yeah.
The light of the world.
Yeah.
What does light do?
Yeah.
Does it make a place dark?
No.
Does it make a place gloomy? No. It doesn't. It makes it bright.
Yes, sir.
It lightens the place.
Yeah.
It forms a radiant energy that stimulates the organ of,
yes,
of sight.
Yeah.
It makes vision possible.
Yes, sir.
By the same token,
yeah.
we are the light
yeah.
of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
For Jesus has power to shine in our hearts.
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians 4:6.
Yeah.
We in him we become the light of the world.
Yes, sir.
Read that.
Moreover, Jesus said to had come to shed light that men might see God through him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we, as his followers, might shine for his sake.
Yeah.
Again, we are to reveal God to all men.
Yes, sir.
This is what Jesus is demanding from us, from all of us. He says, Be loyal.
Yeah.
Be faithful.
Uh-huh.
Be true representatives.
Yeah.
Be the light of the world by showing good examples.
Mm-hmm.
That is, your actions and the language you use as ministers of the gospel.
Amen.
He says to you and to me,
mm-hmm.
lighten the hearts of men. Don't darken them. Many people don't come to church because of the ministers.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way we behave ourselves. He says, be the bearer, be the light bearer
mm-hmm.
of faith in a faithless world.
Mm-hmm.
As ministers of Christ in a world of hopelessness, we are to shed the light of hope
mm-hmm. yeah.
for the world. For this purpose, our ministry must be genuine.
Yes, sir.
Must be real.
Yeah.
Man must feel that we have a Savior that gives us power to be different from other people.
Yeah. Amen.
A Savior that puts us up
mm-hmm.
on a life stand. A Savior that puts us up. On a mountain, on a hill.
Yes, sir.
On a life lamp stand.
Yes, sir.
Where man cannot heed it.
Where?
A Savior that puts us high
mm-hmm.
in such a manner that man cannot help but see it. That, as ministers, are the visible society,
yeah.
the church representing Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, the whole meaning of this is for us to be the salt of the world. For us to be representatives of a Redeemer,
yeah.
Him who is the world's true light,
yes, sir.
Our lives must be examples of what?
Amen.
Justice,
yes, sir.
Honesty,
yes, sir.
Morality,
yes, sir.
Purity,
yes, sir.
And true representatives
Amen.
Of Christianity.
Amen.
We must witness Christ in our daily life,
mm-hmm.
day by day, week by week,
yeah.
month by month,
yes,
and year by year.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You ask me
mm-hmm.
how? The answer is our standard of living in the church as seminarians must be visible higher than the standard of living in the world.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you. God make you the light of the world
mm-hmm.
wherever you go. Amen.
Amen. Amen.